Hey there, I'm Dr. Ruth Roberts. I hope you are all well. Got a couple of really good questions coming in. And Susan, hello. May slash Pam, good to see you. And Sherry, good to see you too. So we'll actually jump over to May's question about Spirit. And so she's been having some problems with his bowels just not quite being right. And the chia seeds are helping, but it's still not normal. So I think this is kind of where we need to fall back and kind of revisit what's going on in the food, because I'm fairly certain that you went through a fecal test, and both a fecal PCR to look at organisms like Campylobacter or C. diff and things of that nature, and those were both negative. So this makes me think that something is still not right in the gut. So I think that it's time to dig down into food a little bit more. So what I would do is a couple of things. If you have somebody that can do a sway test for you, or if you know how to sway test for food, then I would go through and try that. The other thing would be the Glacier Peak Holistics test. And then finally, a new kind of technique that I'm bringing on board is tissue mineral analysis. And so what that is looking at hair to look at mineral balance, and then I think they also look at some toxicities. But I think you want to look at specifically at what is going on with food and make sure there's not something in there that's a consistent issue. The other thing we could certainly do if you come up negative with the food is go through sort of a gut rebuilding program. And that would be using not only phytospore or probably more appropriately megasporobiotic because it does not contain beef or pork as far as a flavoring agent. Using that, their Megamune and probably a Saccharomyces boulardii, and do that kind of in stepwise fashion to rebuild the gut. But May, let me know kind of what you're seeing. Would have Okay, and so for the tests I mentioned, as far as this fecal test, yes, any veterinarian can do that. For a fecal PCR test, yes, any veterinarian can do that. You do want to make sure that they should be able to submit that through both IDEXX and Antech, which are the two most common commercial labs, and that will help. If there's an organism there that just shouldn't be there. And I think it's important to rule that out. We don't see it commonly, but when it happens, again, we're going to bang our head against the wall. So the fecal PCR test is going to look for C. diff, Campylobacter, E. coli that produces an enterotoxin, and eight or six other ones. And Glacier Peaks, Susan, to answer about that, what it helps me with more than anything else is food allergies or food sensitivities. And I've tried Dr. Dodd's test, I've tried the allergy test through Heska and things of that nature for food, which are blood-based, and I find this to be as effective in about, golly, a third of the cost. So I think that we'll put that link in there to that test. And then the tissue mineral analysis, I'm going to start working with that for myself, for Mary Jo, and for Hyo, and see kind of where that takes us. But it's another approach to helping the body balance itself by making sure the mineral ratios are in proper ratio within hair. And hair is more effective than blood because it gives a clearer picture about what's going on. You can have a normal magnesium at the blood level, but have, yeah, I need it too. Let me see if I can find the link to it while we're talking. Let's see. So, but I think they also include some. I'm not smart enough to type and talk anymore. They also include some level of information about various toxins and also, I think, some food sensitivities. But I think they use the minerals really more. To kind of tell you what foods are going to work better for you. So it's really cool. You just have to get about a tablespoon of hair and send that into the lab. Let's see if that actually did right. Yeah, I think so. But that's something we're going to be playing with a little bit more. Dr. Frick has been using this for some number of years, and I think it's been very effective in her hands. And so she's kind of helping me learn a little bit more about it. But May, I would start with the fecal PCR test, make sure there's not something there. It is not a cheap test. It's probably going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 or maybe $250. But if it's a bacterial organism present, we really need to worry, we work that out. And then there's some other items we can do, as I said, to help sort it out. So, adorable puppy and kitten pictures. For some reason, cats actually can take selfies. I don't know if they just like their, And there's more shots with Hayo walking with us. And then moringa is Susan is asking about, and it's not a supplement I'm familiar with, but it has some really great things to say that, yeah, it should be very effective. And, you know, no evidence of toxicity. I think it's being farmed in the US now so that we're not actually depleting the indigenous plants. But, you know, I think it's worth trying because it does offer all of these minerals and some vitamins, but they will be in low sort of food-based quantities. And then, you know, iron is a little bit tricky as far as getting into toxicities, but the fiber and things of that nature is a good idea. And I think, you know, Hannah said she uses it for her pups. The tree is indigenous to the Philippines, so always a good plan. And then there's tons and tons of antioxidants, and it seems to help you modify your insulin sensitivity or reduce your blood sugar count, and then reducing inflammation. So I think it's worth trying. Now, I'm not sure what products are good in the US. I can't remember the name of that that stuff that it was a liquid that was like a multi-level marketing thing that was supposed to be the best thing since sliced bread. To me, it tasted like vomit, and it's something that started with an N. Anyway, so she yeah, that was like wild, went off like wildfire, and then at the end of the day, it didn't really help that much. But again, it's just, yeah. So Willie is hanging in there, and that's great to hear, Jamie. Yeah, I think Pam, that would be used like more of a food-based supplement. So, you know, I'm not sure how that would balance or imbalance. I'm a little concerned about the iron level because that's a wee bit high. So maybe using that something like once or twice a week. Yeah, you definitely want to go for something organic or in an area where they're not farming that much because I'm suspecting that the tree is not going to have pesticides and things like that, and as long as it's not close to a farm where they're doing all sorts of nasty chemicals, then we should be in good shape. And Sherry, I think Hannah sent me a message on Slack, so I'll take a look at that in a minute for the question. And if you want to, just drop it in here in the comments, and I'll be happy to answer it. So Willie's hanging in there; he's doing good. And here he is waiting to see Dr. Lisa. So 3 years ago, actually, so today actually is the anniversary of when Mary Jo and I started traveling 3 years ago. And this was one of the first places we stopped was to see Dr. Lisa and Chris and Dr. Chris and all good. So it's great to see that things are working out and she's finally over there full time. And it's good that the acupuncture is helping with the diarrhea. Golly, there was something else that I saw that helps with the weird taste that you get as a result of chemotherapy. So let me take a look at that right now. And Susan, that is great to hear about Marty, because gosh knows you needed a break on that. Yeah, miracle fruit. It's weird. Evidently, it kind of reverses the taste in your mouth. So that, for instance, I have a friend that had, weirdly, tonsillar cancer, and the chemotherapy and the radiation just really screwed up her taste buds. She said everything tasted like salt. But what this seems to do is kind of reset your taste buds to normal. It's been, if there is a hospital that's promoting it for their cancer patients, then it must actually work. So Jamie, that may be something to try, to see if that helps. And Susan, if Marty has almost recovered 100% from his paralysis, then maybe he doesn't need an operation, and maybe you can manage this with physical therapy and acupuncture and things of that nature. So even on the human side, they're saying that, wait, if you can avoid surgery, just save it for when you actually have no other options. So I hope that makes some sense. And there may be something else that's going on that I'm just not aware of. And then Susie, your friend's pup, this is just sucks. So it's good that Buddy has a pal, but yeah, I have four bulging discs in my neck and four in my lumbar spine, but I don't think that means that you need to have surgery. So there's a lot of other things that can be done, including stem cell injections. Which is what I ended up having last year. So I wasn't surgical, but I still had debilitating pain. But the stem cell injections actually stopped the pain. So I hope that makes some sense, Susan. Neurologists tend to tell you surgery is the way to go, but in many cases, it really isn't. You can actually end up destabilizing the discs. But anyway, poor Mr. King. There's a couple of things I would do for this guy. Definitely increasing the barbiturate sixfold is going to make him more goopy. As far as conventional therapies, if they're not using Keppra, this would be some place to start, just to reduce the amount of sedation that he's having from the drugs. Potassium bromide can also be used. Again, those two drugs are going to be stabilizing as far as the seizure with fewer effects with the phenobarbital, because that will cost his liver some issues somewhere down the road. And then right on with the laser therapy, Susan, that will work awesome. And then the other big thing is CBD, as was mentioned below, and I think Jamie threw that in there. But again, for this guy, I would use the Sea Dog, CBD Dog Heal product at that super high dose. Again, he may have some sedation. Start low, work your way up. The top dose is going to be somewhere around 50 milligrams. Start with about 10 and work your way up to what his dose will be. And then Lolly, yeah, anything that reduces inflammation, especially in the brain, is going to help reduce seizures. So I think that's another good option. But poor dude, he just looks totally dosed. And that's just a miserable place to be. And then diet-wise, this is where things like keto diet can be very helpful. Again, the goal with keto is to turn the brain into a fat-burning machine instead of a sugar-burning machine. This helps to reduce inflammation in the brain and also reduce the seizure focus. There are several Chinese herbal formulas. I mean, there's a whole litany of things we could go through. So, Susie, if those are some suggestions to start with, probiotics, omega-3 fatty acids, and really would love to talk with your neighbors if they are up for doing a consultation to see if we can get them some options. Because at 4, he is really young to have ongoing seizures. The other thing I would double check on is thyroid issues, and make sure that's not part of the problem. For these young dogs, we can miss that. So it's, again, it's one of those things that's easy to work on. So that's where I would start conventionally. Let me just double check with everything else in this list, and I think we are good to go. Here's Sherry's question about. Pain. Okay, so 0.25 mL with the ease, and that's a pretty hefty dose, Sherry. That's going to be about 2.5 milligrams for 14.5 pound dog, so that's not bad. So as far as pain relief, meloxicam is going to provide the most direct pain relief, as far as because it is a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory pain. And then the gabapentin is used in conjunction with meloxicam to do a couple of things. And you can use it in conjunction with the CBD. But it helps to reduce pain windup. It doesn't, I don't think it reduces pain outright, but it helps to reduce the nervous system response. To pain. So Keppra, Susie, is the drug name. So I would, if 0.25 mL a day is all you can get to CBD, and I'm presuming that more than that, and she gets just super dopey, it can take a while to acclimate, but it's no fun to have a dog that's just knocked out. Now, if you combine that with gabapentin, you may see more dopiness, so to speak. So the meloxicam is going to provide the most pain relief, but it has the most potential effects as far as affecting the kidney and the liver. So with a heart murmur and a large heart, that should not be a problem. But I would, go tread cautiously. And there's some pets that CBD just doesn't work well for. So I think you'd want to see what things, what's worked and what has not worked, how much relief she's getting. The other thing I'd really encourage you to look into would be like a handheld laser, or what is that thing called? K laser, I think. So there's several handheld lasers that you can use. Assisi loops are really great. Bettina can tell you she's had tremendous success with her dogs. So I hope that's helpful. If you need to use meloxicam to give her some relief until some of these other things kick in, do it. There's no, the thing that really sucks is that, we want to do things as naturally as possible, But at the end of the day, sometimes that's just not enough for some patients. And so if you need to use some meloxicam, go for it. So every once in a while, Hayo will walk a little too far, and then we will give her a dose of meloxicam because otherwise she will limp for 3 to 4 days versus 6 hours. So every now and again, it's okay. And then certainly you want to use joint supplements. I mean, you know, there's a whole other litany of things you can do to help reduce inflammation and pain. So, ladies, I think that is what I have for you today. And let me make sure I haven't missed something in the comments here. And good. I think we're good to go. All right. So until next week, have a wonderful week. Give everybody a big hug. You know, the upside of it being so hot out west is that they're going to have to belay many of these fireworks show because it's just sucking the moisture right out of the trees. So hopefully everybody stays safe. You have a happy and safe 4th of July and your dogs don't get too freaked out. So until next week, take good care.